Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something small, but seriously powerful. An immense style ghost note that adds sunrise set emotion inside your drum and bass groove in Ableton Live 12. And I want you to hear this right away, because this is advanced production thinking. We are not just dropping in another snare hit. We're shaping movement, memory, and feel. This is one of those tiny details that makes a loop stop sounding programmed and start sounding alive. In a sunrise set context, that matters a lot. You're not always chasing raw impact. You're chasing lift. You want the listener to feel that forward motion, that emotional shimmer, that sense that the groove is opening up without losing its weight. A well-placed ghost note can do exactly that. So here's the goal. We're going to build a soft amen-style ghost note layer that sits underneath or beside the main break, feels human and slightly unstable, and adds just enough atmosphere to support the emotion of the section. It should feel like a memory of the drum performance, not a second lead event. Start by loading your main amen-inspired break onto an audio track in Ableton Live 12 and making sure it warped properly. You want the timing clean enough that you can trust the grid, but not so over-edited that all the life gets sucked out of it. If your break is already chopped, that's even better. Now listen for the pocket. This is where the ghost note wants to live. In drum and bass, that's often just before beat 2 or beat 4, the end of 2, or a tiny late slice tucked under the decay of a main snare. You're hunting for a small snare buzz, a rinish tick, or a break fragment with enough transient to read, but not so much that it takes over. If the source break doesn't give you that slice naturally, don't force it. Chop a tiny piece from a quieter part of the break and treat that like your ghost note trigger. The point is not to create a big new hit. The point is to create a subtle gesture. Once you've found it, consolidate that slice into its own clip so you can process it independently. This is important, because a ghost note needs its own personality. You want control over level, tone, timing, and ambience without dragging the whole break around with it. First, clean it up. Put EQ8 on it and high pass aggressively enough to remove low mud. A good starting point is around 200 Hz. If the slice is too hissy or bright, low pass it a bit too, somewhere around 8 to 12 kHz. This isn't about making it dull. It's about making it small and emotionally useful. If the sample has unwanted tail noise, at a gentle gate. Keep the release short so it doesn't feel chopped unnaturally. Then trim the gain with utility if needed. Leave yourself headroom. A ghost note should almost never sound good when soloed. If it feels too important by itself, it's probably too loud in the mix. Now shape the transient. This is where you turn a regular slice into a real ghost note. You can use drum bus for this or saturator if you want a slightly different flavor. With drum bus, keep the drive subtle. Maybe around 5 to 15%. Don't go crazy with boom unless you specifically want a low mid thump, which usually isn't the move for this kind of detail. If the hit is too pokey, soften it a little. If it disappears, bring the transients forward just enough to help it read. If you use saturator, keep the drive light, maybe 1 to 4 dB, and turn soft clip on. Again, the mission is not aggression. The mission is definition with restraint. Think texture, not attack. A really important detail here is the clip itself. If the hit clicks, shorten the fade by a few milliseconds. If it needs a softer edge, add just a tiny fade in or fade out. These little clip edits matter more than people think, especially in fast music like drum and bass, where one bad transient can feel like a mistake in the whole loop. Now for the groove. This is where the thing starts to feel human. Do not just grid quantize the ghost note and leave it there. A tiny timing offset makes a huge difference. Try nudging it a few milliseconds early or late. Usually somewhere between 5 and 18 milliseconds is enough to shift the emotional feel without making it sloppy. If it sits before a snare, slightly early can feel excited and forward. If it sits after, slightly late can feel more reflective and sunrise-like. If your original amen break has a strong swing, use Ableton's groove pool. Extract the groove from the break and apply it lightly to the ghost note only. That's the advanced move. You don't need the whole kit to swing harder. You just need the ghost note to inherit some of that human timing, so it feels like it belongs to the performance. Keep the groove amount moderate. Start with timing around 30 to 60% and velocity around 20 to 40%. You want the ghost note to breathe, not wobble all over the place. Now we get into the emotional layer, effects. This is where the sunrise feeling really starts to come through. The ghost note should feel like it lives slightly behind the listener, or just off to the side of the kit, not right in the spotlight. A very solid chain starts with auto filter. Use it to soften the tonal range. A low pass or band pass can work depending on the slice. Bring the cutoff down until the note feels tucked back, maybe somewhere around 2.5 to 6 kHz if you're aiming for a muted emotional texture. A touch of resonance can add a nasal, expressive quality, but keep it subtle. Next, try echo. Not a big, obvious delay, just a small, tempo-synced memory trail. 1/16th or dotted eighth can work well, with feedback around 8-20%. Filter the repeat so they don't get in the way of the top end. Keep the dry/wet low. You're building a shadow, not a delay effect people notice immediately. Then add a short reverb or hybrid reverb. Keep the decay short, around 0.4-1.2 seconds, with a small amount of dry/wet, maybe 4-10%. A little pre-delay can help keep the transient readable. You want space, but not wash. In drum and bass, too much ambience can destroy the snare definition very quickly. If you want a bit more jungle dust, you can place a very light redux before the reverb, just enough downsampling to roughen the edge and make the hit feel a little worn in. Don't overdo it. This is about vibe, not destruction. A strong chain order here is EQ8, then drum bus or saturator, then auto filter, then echo, then reverb. If you want to keep your dry transient more controlled, you can also send the ghost note to a return track and build the space there. That's often the cleaner way in heavier drum and bass, because your dry transient stays disciplined, while the ambience can move around independently. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where a lot of producers miss the full effect. A ghost note should evolve with the track. If it stays the same for 64 bars, it stops being emotional and starts being wallpaper. So automate it. Open the auto filter cutoff gradually over 8, 16, or 32 bars if you want the section to feel like it's lifting into the sunrise. Increase the reverb a little in breakdowns or pre-drop moments. Let the echo feedback rise briefly during transitions, then pull it back. If you're using width on a return channel, widen it in atmospheric sections and narrow it again when the drop lands. That contrast matters. In a sunrise set, the emotional payoff often comes from tiny changes across time. The ghost note can start dark and tucked away, then slowly become more present, then pull back just before the drop to make the downbeat feel sharper. Here's a really useful way to think about it. The ghost note is not just a sound. It's a phrase marker. It says, something is about to happen. That's what makes it so effective in advanced drum and bass. It points the ear forward without shouting. Now, make it interact with the bass and the rest of the drums. If your bass line is heavy, distorted, or rolling, the ghost note should act like a counter texture. If your bass is more melodic and fluid, the ghost note can supply grit and human instability. Either way, you want the parts to speak to each other. Watch the low mids. If the ghost note starts clouding the snare body, carve out around 250-500 Hz. If there's harsh overlap in the presence zone, a small dip around 3-6 Khz can help. Keep the note mono or close to mono in the low mids, and let width live mostly in the FX returns. If you want a really pro move, duplicate the ghost note track. Keep one version dry and centered, and make the second version filtered, wider and more ambient. Blend them quietly. That gives you transient definition on one side and emotional haze on the other. It's a very controlled way to make a micro hit feel much bigger than it really is. Also, listen to the ghost note in full context. Don't judge it alone. A slice that sounds magical by itself can disappear completely once the hats, rides, bass, and atmospheres are in. Or the opposite can happen. It can clutter the groove once the top end gets busy. Always test it with the full drum and bass picture running. And one more advanced coaching idea here. Use the ghost note like a response. Let it answer the snare, answer the bass movement, or answer a change in atmosphere. That call and response logic is a huge part of drum and bass phrasing. It makes tiny events feel meaningful. For example, in an 8-bar roller phrase, you might place the main snare on 2 and 4, then put the ghost note just before 2 in bars 2 and 6. Right after that, the bass cutoff opens slightly, and maybe a reverb tail lands under the next kick. Now the ear hears a conversation, not just a loop. Or in a sunrise intro, keep the drums sparse and let the ghost note appear every 4 bars, as a memory of the full groove. As pans brighten and high-pass filters open, the ghost note can become slightly clearer. By the time the drop arrives, the listener already feels the identity of the groove. That makes the transition hit emotionally instead of mechanically. A few common mistakes to avoid. First, don't make the ghost note too loud. If you mute it and suddenly miss it, that's a good sign. If it sounds like a feature, it's too loud. Second, don't leave too much low end in the slice. Ghost notes rarely need real sub information. Third, don't quantize so hard that it loses feel. Tiny offsets matter. Fourth, don't drown it in reverb. In DNB, cloudy ambience can wreck the snare impact fast. And fifth, Don't ignore arrangement context. A ghost note that works in one bar might need automation to stay effective across a whole section. If you want to push this even further, try a two-layer ghost note system. Make one layer an ultra-short transient slice, mono and barely audible. Make the second layer a filtered ambience tail, that's a little wider and softer. Blend them together so the transient gives definition and the tail gives emotion. That setup is incredibly useful for sunrise sections. You can also experiment with velocity-based behavior in drum rack. Low velocity can trigger a darker, drier version. Mid velocity can trigger a slightly more saturated one. Higher velocity can bring in more ambience or brightness. That makes the ghost note feel responsive instead of fixed.